The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Office CEO.
We are the Biz 1440.
KYCR Golden Valley, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Russian officials have raised the death toll to 115 after a concert hall raid claimed by the Islamic State terrorist group.
This was the deadliest attack in Russia for nearly 20 years. At the scene of the mass shooting, investigators worked through the night to gather evidence, including abandoned weapons and ammunition left by the gunmen. As for the attackers, Russian officials have said very little about who they were or where they are. There were indications last night that the gunmen had escaped and the police were trying to hunt them down. A branch of the Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attack. Moscow has yet to comment on that claim.
That's BBC's Steve Rosenberg. The Senate has passed a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills that pushes any threats of a government shutdown to the fall. The bill now goes to President Biden to be signed into law. This is SRN News.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets, millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
The Ramsey Show.
I'm going to close on a new house, so I took a brokerage loan of $80,000 for the down payment. I plan to keep my previous primary residence as a rental.
Nope, I wouldn't keep that other house. You're in debt up your eyeballs, man. You just fell completely off the wagon and rolled down the road.
Yeah, I did.
And you went to a brokerage account for a down payment. Unbelievable, man. You are really playing it. You're curling the two hairs I have left.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 p.m. live on the Biz 1440.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Turn all the lights on and kill the noise. The Biz 1440 presents the best 2 hours of economic news and commentary.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
It's the King Banyan Show, your source for penetrating economic insight, razor-sharp analysis, and unflinching universal thought.
The process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go and is likely to be bumpy.
Everything you need to maintain clarity and stay ahead of the economic curve.
If you're going to fix complicated problems, you have to learn how to fix simple problems first.
Now, here's Professor King Banyan.
Good morning and welcome. King Banyan Show, The Biz 1440. Thank you for being with us today. 651-289-4477, the number to call with questions and comments. 651-289-4477. A little bit of the winter that wasn't is outside our door, but most of it melting off. And yet they have already announced that we are going to be working remotely on Monday, because the storm of the winter is coming, apparently. just a little bit late, but it's on the way. So I don't mind. I don't mind. It's been a great and glorious winter. All I know is I had a good laugh at the expense of someone who said his plowing service ends on March 15th, and I said mine ends on April 1. Because I've lived here long enough to know it snows in the second half of March in Minnesota. Heck, the SCSU's day at Target Field for the Twins is April 20th. And I'm thinking about whether I really want to go because that could be a cold game. I have been at Target in April, and my gosh, there's been a big variety there's been a great variety in weather that you experience down there. But anyway, it's a nice day. I don't care. I got a hoodie on. I'm excited for the start of the baseball season to come. A little sad about the loss last night for the St. Cloud State Huskies. Great game. Got played really, really well last night and just came up short against a terrific team in Denver University. We wish them the best of luck in the NC2A tournament. Doubtful that we will be there. And particularly complicated by the fact that Omaha beat North Dakota, which I actually cheer. In fact, anytime North Dakota loses, I cheer. So 651-289-4477. UND, Mitch Berg, not NDSU. I know how you roll. I have nothing bad to say about NDSU. 651-289-4477. So, what happened this week? Well, everybody knows this would have been the week in which there was the FOMC meeting and the press conference. Unsurprising to anyone, the Fed didn't change rates. But there were two major pieces of information that we received. One that I think took us a little by surprise and was greatly covered by the financial press was the DOTS, right? The Statement of Economic Projections, or SEP, came out, and there was a few surprising things in there. The one that was the biggest focus, of course, was how many rate cuts do the various members of FOMC, both voting and non-voting, remember, FOMC is the seven governors plus the 12 presidents. They all get to give their information in the summary of economic projections, although only five of the presidents vote, the New York Fed and four others, and four other presidents. The other seven still submit their forecast. And the DOTS are super interesting. As I tweeted out using the hashtag #PoundKBRS, that's how you follow the show, #PoundKBRS is the hashtag that gets that done. There had been, back in December when they put out the information, there had been five members of the broader FOMC, voting and non-voting, who expected four rate cuts in 2024 and one that anticipated seven rate cuts. Okay, I don't think we've ever heard who that was. I don't actually have a speculation on it. All I have to say is, wow, that's interesting. Okay, because I want to know what that person, for seven rate cuts to happen, we would have to go into a pretty major recession sometime early in 2024, a bet that now seems a little off. This time around, nobody at more than four, the broad majority at the majority of them actually predicted still three rate cuts, but there's only one person who's saying more than three. And there are eight predicting more than three, right? So you've got nine people at three, eight above three, and one, I think it's one. I should go back and I should have pulled up my slide at four. The only person who's been open about what he said is Rafael Bostic, who's the president of the Atlanta Fed, who to Bloomberg on Friday said, no, I was at one rate cut. I used to be at two. I'm now only at one I'm at one. And this is the language you will hear over the next few months. Okay. The one and done camp. Okay. And so Bostic is kind of the standard bearer for the one and done camp. In fact, let me read this to you. Federal Reserve. This was posted by Steve Matthews on yesterday afternoon, about 5 p.m. our time. Federal Reserve Bank. Okay, Rafael Bostic says he now projects just one interest rate cut this year, adding that reduction will likely happen later in the year than he previously expected. Bostic previously said he thought it'd be appropriate for the Fed to lower rates twice in 2024, with the first of those cuts likely coming this summer. It was a close call, Bostic told reporters on Friday. We will have to see how the data come in over the next several weeks. That's not what we heard from Jay Powell at the press conference. And everybody covering Jay Powell is basically saying he was still way too dovish, way too pessimistic. In fact, I think we have this. I think this is the right cut for it. Larry Summers on Wall Street Week, and I think this was actually Thursday, may have played on the TV program last night, but I believe it was actually in an interview that he did with David Westin on Thursday, uses this word, itchy finger. I believe you hear it right here. Let's play. I think this is cut 17.
And certainly from that scenario laid out in the dot plots, I think there's more room for things to surprise on the bad side than to surprise on the better side. We may have the path that's described there materialized. It's certainly got to be recognized as a very real possibility. My sense is still that the Fed is itchy fingers to start cutting rates, and I don't fully get it.
So on the one side, itchy finger, the criticism, but here's Bostic, okay, one of the fellows, who's in that room, who's saying, I'm pretty much one and done. He was at two, and he says, what in the summer? So my assumption was, when I had heard him say two, he was saying, we're going to cut in June, we're going to measure, and basically allow the election to happen without doing anything. And then at the meeting in November, maybe December, he would vote for one more cut. It now appears that Bostic is leaning into the possibility that he's not going to vote for a rate cut until after the election. When he says later in the year, he's pointing to the data that came in January and February on prices, in which he says, you know, I see some troubling things underneath the headlines. He pointed to Matthew's article, he pointed specifically to the breadth of items in the consumer basket that are rising at an elevated rate. We get the PCE next week, this coming week, and we'll obviously cover that on the show next weekend. But the expectation is that rate is going to be higher than the Fed's 2% measure. And interestingly, the other piece of the dot plot that we'll have to talk about, and I'll reiterate this in the next segment with some cuts from Jay Powell's speech at the beginning, his remarks at the beginning of the press conference, is that the Fed currently forecasts PCE inflation at 2.6% and core PCE inflation at 2.6% at the end of 2024. It's at 2.8% now. Right? So, not 2. They don't even forecast 2% for 2025. Only in 2026 do they forecast 2%. And we'll talk about what they're doing. This will be later. I have a second longer clip from Dr. Summers that I think will explain sort of the logic of what's happening. And I normally don't give Spencer a longish, like almost a, it's a little under 2 minute cut to play, but you have to think through the way he's thinking about what's the interest rate that indicates whether or not we're at normal. Right, whether we're at neutral in terms of the interest rate, where does the Fed funds rate have to be when we're no longer being restrictive in terms of monetary policy? Well, more on that, more on the dot plot when we come back after these messages. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on the Biz 1440.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. And our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. That's 800-846-2124.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, relief, relieffactor.com.
Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson from Minnesota Score Radio's 10,000 Takes, talking about Minnesota's 10,000 losing teams. Wild, Wolves, Gophers, Twins, Vikings, you name it, we'll cover it.
Will any team step up and give Minnesota's long-suffering fans something to cheer about? If they do, we'll tell you about it on 10,000 Takes.
10,000 Takes, weeknights at 5.
Here on the Biz 1440.
Twin Cities Business Radio.
Looking to make a difference? Volunteer for your local fire department. Join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Visit MakeMeAFirefighter.org.
Hello, sunshine. I'm so glad to see you, sunshine.
nice. Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Also, I took this week to, knowing the snow was coming, I said, I need some happy things to think about. So, in case you don't know it, there's a lovely outdoor theater here in central Minnesota called The Ledge. And if you would like to come sit with, I don't know what its capacity is. It probably holds a little more than 1,000, but maybe not 2,000 people. But it's a fantastic place to sit and watch outdoors. You're sitting in the middle of an old granite quarry. The sound is fantastic. If John Berg is listening, I got tickets to Buddy Guy in June. Spencer, are you familiar with Buddy Guy? Has John infected you with that musical taste?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, he probably will. Buddy Guy is 87 years old. And, he's been playing for over 60 years. I'm amazed that they still are having him come out and tour. I saw Mavis Staples last year, who was about that age, But these stars from the 60s that come back and allow us to have a little nostalgia. I'm seeing them. I've got tickets to Three Dog Night and Little River Band. I got tickets to John Anderson from Yes. It's coming here in August, along with Greg Palmer from the old Emerson, Lake and Palmer. So great. There's lots of other stuff. There's music for. I'm just giving you all the music that that probably falls in the category of boomer rock, which is a nicer term than geezer rock. I would also encourage the youngs to look at the schedule, because there's some stuff for you as well. It's going to be a fun time up here this summer. And I'm just saying that because I really want you to not think about that snow outside. I want you to think about the press conference that Jay Powell from the Federal Reserve had on Wednesday afternoon, very anticipated, not for the numbers itself or the dot plot was kind of forecasted. And let's just start with some of the clips where he includes the dot plot in his description of the state of the economy. So we'll start here. We're looking at GDP. This is cut number one.
Activity in the housing sector was subdued over the past year, largely reflecting high mortgage rates. High interest rates also appear to have weighed on business fixed investment. In our summary of economic projections, committee participants generally expect GDP growth to slow from last year's pace, with a median projection of 2.1% this year and 2% over the next 2 years. Participants generally revised up their growth projections since December, reflecting the strength of incoming data, including data on labor supply.
And this is actually much more so, much more than he's letting on. The December forecast for 2024 GDP was 1.4%. So this is a revision from 1.4 to 2.1. That is significant. And this is part of the reason why I wondered, what are we in fact saying about the whether or not the economy is going to have some kind of soft landing? Because particularly for those that were forecasting four cuts or more in December, okay, clearly those folks that forecasted a soft landing in a GDP with a one handle of some kind, or maybe even a zero, doesn't appear like anybody's in that camp. And the same thing happens on the unemployment rate as well. He noted at the end changes in labor supply, and he discusses those in this next piece here. Let's play cut two.
Estimates based on the Consumer Price Index and other data indicate that total PCE prices rose 2.5% over the 12 months ending in February, and that excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 2.8%. Longer-term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored, as reflected in a broad range of surveys of households, businesses, and forecasters, as well as from measures from financial markets. The median projection in the SEP for total PCE inflation falls to 2.4% this year, 2.2% next year, and 2% in 2026.
So, I'm sorry, I thought I decided to skip the unemployment. So I got 16 cuts of Jay Powell for you today. Okay, we can't be necessarily completists here, but there are a few points I really want to make. But this is the first one, right? The forecast for inflation on PCE inflation, what is interesting is on core PCE, which they've said is their target measure, was raised from 2.4% to 2.6%. So let me repeat for you. We went from 1.4% to 2.1% for 2024 GDP. We went from 2.4% core PCE to 2.6. That would indicate to me not a change in supply, which he says in the first clip, that last sentence of the first clip, we had better labor supply than we expected. Then why is your inflation forecast being marked up? Indeed, I'm looking at the range of forecasts that they received on core PCE in 2024. The entire range of forecasts is between 2.4 and 3%. Not a single member of FOMC forecasted GDP core PCE falling below 2.4%. Not 2.0. A few of them are there. Some of them are there for 2025. Some of them are there for 2026. But for 2024, it is interesting to me that none of them are forecasting an inflation rate below 2.4%. And yet many of them are still hung up on 3 rate cuts. Okay? As you might guess, I'm kind of sort of leaning into the itchy finger Fed story that Larry Summers tells, which I don't need any other analysis. That kind of summarizes what we're thinking here. So I look at that forecast currently right now, and 4.6% again is where everybody is for, okay, the 3 rate cuts is where everybody is, okay, but there's only one person below 4.6, and they're at the 4.25 to 4.5 level there. But, and we'll get back to this in a little bit, the range of the forecast for 2025 and 2026 is that they're all expecting the Fed funds rate to go below 3% in the long run. The question is the path, right? And that's there. But with inflation not making it to 2% until 2026 now, according to their forecast, there are some of them that say core PCE will be at 2.1. Okay, all of them are marking up. We're a little bit above 2% at the end of 2025. Okay, that's 21 months from now. And the question is, what's that path down to 2%? That's going to take some time. So the first point is the dot plot is kind of strange because it's still forecasting a decrease, but it's forecasting an economy that is, I don't want to say hotter, but is less a soft landing forecast than they had 3 months ago. Let me go on and let's play the next cut. This is again from the press conference. So these are the prepared remarks of Jay Powell given on Wednesday. This is cut 3.
We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year. The economic outlook is uncertain, however, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. We are prepared to maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate for longer, if appropriate.
So he does two things here. This is important. For two meetings in a row now, the dot plot has had nobody forecast an increase in the rate. Okay, if I look at the range, I'm going to go ahead and look at the range. Okay, you have nobody forecasting. You had a group back in December who said no rate cut in 2024. That was two people. That was two members of FOMC. And one person saying only one rate cut. We now know that the person that went from two rate cuts to one rate cut is President Bostic from Atlanta. We don't know who the two no rate cut people are, although I have suspicions. I'm not naming names because I think it's inappropriate. Okay, but I got a gut feeling I know who it's going to be. I know who those people are. But they marked up their inflation forecast. They marked up their GDP forecast and did not take dots higher. As the majority of them did not take their dots higher, they took their dots up, but it looks like they all converged on this on three cuts, and that has to mean that the first one comes in June, and that's why all the betting is on a June rate cut. Let's take a break here. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
You want to feel important? You want to be part of something bigger? Something that matters and that you can help change things? You want to feel like you belong? We felt that way too. I'm Sergeant First Class Chris Urich from Glencoe, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. We are people just like you, and together we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit nationalguard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
There are no words to describe it. The isolation, the boredom, the loneliness. If you're wondering where your teenage son or daughter's spirit went, you're hardly alone. The past year has been devastating, especially for them. But here's the good news. They might just find it again, playing high school sports. Workouts that stimulate, teammates and coaches that care, the sense of belonging so many of us have been missing lately. That's what school sports are all about. The sense of achievement is real, and the camaraderie is hard to beat. Coping with uncertainty is difficult, but school sports can help the teenagers in your family start feeling like themselves again. Encourage them to give it a try. High school sports, it's so much more than a game.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
The Ramsey Show.
I found a job that's very rewarding, but they're going to work me like a dog. It's a 70-hour work week.
70 hours a week. Man's not, woman's not created to work like that. Indefinite?
Yeah, that's an indefinite situation.
You married?
I am not married.
You won't be.
Yeah, you could do it for a short term. Don't sell out for something that just looks good. It's got to be good in all aspects.
Break free from debt with The Ramsey Show.
Weekday afternoons, 1 to 4.
What you see. What have the years of your life taught you to be? Innocence dying in so many ways. Things that you dream of.
Welcome back. Lost. King Banyan Show, The Biz 1440. Yeah, I'm pumped about my music this summer. It's going to be a good summer. I have to say, it's hilarious. My boss, the provost here, is as big a fan of music, even though she graduated her university, oh, I don't know, 7 years after I did. She has very similar tastes, and so she's actually stopped me in a hallway and said, "Did you see who's coming?" Right? So, kind of fun. 651-289-4477. So the press conference starts, and Jay Powell announces, basically, we have a better forecast. We think the economy's doing better than we thought in December, but we're hanging on to our forecast for 3 rate cuts this year, which again I think is a little bit odd. But But here comes the other part that I thought was very, very, very interesting, which I believe is right here. This is still from the prepared remarks, cut number 4.
Turning to our balance sheet, our securities holdings have declined by nearly $1.5 trillion since the committee began reducing our portfolio. At this meeting, we discussed issues related to slowing the pace of decline in our securities holdings. While we did not make any decisions today on this, the general sense of the committee is that it will be appropriate to slow the pace of runoff fairly soon, consistent with the plans we previously issued. The decision to slow the pace of runoff does not mean that our balance sheet will ultimately shrink by less than it would otherwise, but rather allows us to approach that ultimate level more gradually.
So they've developed, and we'll play a little bit of this. In fact, I'm going to see if I can figure out where this is in our cuts coming up here in a moment. But the Fed has figured out how it wants to go about the rate, about getting off quantitative tightening. I have said, if you've listened to me talk about this, one of the people that said this pretty consistently was Dave Bonson from the Bonson Group. If you're not listening to him and his Capital Matters program at National Review, I really suggest you listen to it. But I would say there have been a number of us who said quantitative tightening has to at least, you have to address it before you can do a rate cut. So they're now actively saying, we think he uses the word fairly soon, which leads many of us to believe that we're in fact going to have an announcement about the tapering of quantitative tightening at the May meeting. I think that happens, and it will be presented to you as a cut that comes from that cut is going to come from, I think this is it here. Yeah, a cut that is done in this very considered way, which they think is going to allow them to get their balance sheet even lower. If I'm right on where this is, Spencer, this should be, I'm going to jump down to cut number 12.
Liquidity is not evenly distributed in the system. And there can be times when, in the aggregate, reserves are ample or even abundant, but not in every part. And those parts where they're not ample, there can be stress. And that can cause you to prematurely stop the process to avoid the stress.
Okay, I actually was off one. Okay, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to go backwards. Let me play cut 11.
What we're really looking at is slowing the pace of runoff. There isn't much runoff among MBS in MBS right now, but there is in treasuries, and we're talking about going to a lower pace. I don't want to give you a specific number because we haven't made had an agreement or a decision, but that's the idea. That's what we're looking at. And in terms of the timing, I said fairly soon. I wouldn't want to try to be more specific than that, but you get the idea. The idea is, and this is in our longer run plans, that we may actually be able to get to a lower level because we would avoid the kind of frictions that can happen.
So what they're referring to is the 2019 episode where they were trying to reduce the balance sheet and ended up with a liquidity crisis. They once bitten, twice shy. It's one of the reasons why they were very hesitant to start reducing the balance sheet. And they've been trying very hard to signal very clearly what they plan to do. So MBS stands for mortgage-backed securities. And what they're saying is we're not running off mortgage-backed securities. We're running off a lot of our treasuries. And you can hear him say, basically, I don't want my treasuries to run down too low because I need those for liquidity purposes. Because when the Fed wants to inject liquidity into the system, particularly in a time of a crisis, it doesn't do that using MBS. They're not terribly useful as a monetary policy tool because the market for them is far less liquid because they're not, it's hard to say there's a plain vanilla MBS. If I get bankers listening, call us 651-289-4477. If you think I'm wrong about this, I think it's more difficult to evaluate the value of an MBS unless you actually can say, okay, it's this QSIP, it's this particular security, it has this structure to it, and it takes a little more time. If I tell you I've got a bunch of 3.5%. coupon treasuries that mature December 17th, 2026. You could price those. My undergrads could price those. If they can't, they don't pass money in banking. That's simple, right? So they want to have that there. And that's where this cut 12 comes in. So I'm going to have you repeat cut 12 for me, Spencer.
Liquidity is not evenly distributed in the system. And there can be times when, in the aggregate, reserves are ample or even abundant, but not in every part. And those parts where they're not ample, there can be stress. And that can cause you to prematurely stop the process to avoid the stress.
And that's exactly what happened in 2019. They were trying to get back to some balance sheet level, some aggregate asset level that they thought was appropriate. And before they got there, they had a liquidity crisis blow up on them, and they had to stop and, in fact, reverse. And then, of course, COVID comes, and they blow the balance sheet up to $9 trillion. That's what they're trying to avoid, is to do that. Okay, and let's play also cut 13 because this follows on that same line.
And will there be a discussion about returning to an all treasuries balance sheet at some point?
So that our longer run goal is to return to a balance sheet that is mostly treasuries. I do expect that once we're through this, we'll come back to the other issues about the composition and the maturity and revisit those issues. But it's, not urgent right now. We want to get this decision made first, and then we can, when the time is right, come back to the other issues.
So to explain what's being asked, the balance sheet runoff has made it such that mortgage-backed securities are a bigger part of the Federal Reserve's portfolio of assets than was probably what they wanted to have. And again, even though they're using, in the world of mortgage-backed securities, the most liquid versions of those that they can find, they don't have the same liquidity. They don't have the same usefulness in the conduct of monetary policy that treasuries have. So they've decided they want to get the balance sheet back to a level that they're comfortable with. They want to get there. They want to stop the process of quantitative tightening because they think they're getting toward the level they need to be. They probably don't need to. They're probably going to be, if they go through three more months of burning off $95 billion a month in securities, they're probably going to be right around the level that they're going to be comfortable with, and they're going to just try to taper out. I don't know how rapid that's going to be. But they want to stop the reduction of the balance sheet before they deal with the composition of the balance sheet. And that all got discussed. So when we see the FOMC minutes in a few weeks' time, I will be reading them to see how they describe that particular conversation. That, in fact, will be, in a few weeks, the most interesting part of the FOMC minutes. The rest of this, I think, is everything we expected them to do. I'd like to understand a little bit of the disconnect between marking up your growth forecast but not marking down the number of rate cuts you would have. But I my guess is I won't learn anything about that. They will couch that in very careful terms. But they might give us more of a clue in the minutes about what's going to happen to the Fed's balance sheet. Hey, just a reminder, coming up after the top of the hour, Phil Kirpin from American Commitment will be here to talk about the state of the economy and whether or not it's really doing as well as some people want us to believe. We'll talk with him after the top of the hour, but we'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets. Millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Join me to rally to read 100 books.
Reading is Fundamental invites you to visit rallytoread.org today to learn about our reading campaign. Join the pledge to read 100 books. Hear your child's favorite authors read their books and find activities to keep young readers motivated. Teachers can also enter the Rally to Read sweepstakes for a chance to win 100 books for their own school, subject to rules. Visit rallytoread.org today.
Rally to Read!
The Ramsey Show.
Mama's going to be just fine when you die, financially speaking. I'm sure she'll cry. My wife is actually planning my death, and it's got me very concerned. My estate plan is predicating on me predeceasing her, and I don't know how she knows that.
The Biz 1440, weekdays 1 to 4.
The Ramsey Show.
I don't have credit card debt. I don't have student loan debt. I don't have car payments. I'm under control and I got a pile of money. You know what would happen?
The economy would collapse.
No, it wouldn't. The economy would boom.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 p.m. live on the Biz 1440.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Again, a reminder, Phil Kirpin from American Commitment on after the top of the hour to talk about the state of the economy and that it isn't as good as people want to make it seem. I wanted to play for you. There was this exchange at the beginning. So the press conference comes to an end about 2 minutes after, the prepared remarks come to an end about 90 seconds after the last clip we played about quantitative tightening. And Steve Leisman from CNBC gets the very first question. And I wanted to play this for you because it's really a very interesting way of thinking about it. And it really sort of formed how I just did this hour, was listening to Powell's answer to this question. So to pick it up, you need the both question and the answer. And let me play this. This should be cut 5.
You see, Mr. Chairman, projections show somewhat higher core inflation. They also show somewhat stronger growth. What should we infer from this notion that on average rates were kept the same this year, but inflation is higher and growth is higher? Does it mean more tolerance for higher inflation and less of a willingness to slow the economy to achieve that target?
Well, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that, you know, we've seen incoming, as I pointed out in my opening remarks, we did mark up our growth forecast, and so have many other forecasters. So the economy is performing well. And the inflation data came in a little bit higher as a separate matter, and I think that caused people to write up their inflation. But nonetheless, we continue to make good progress on bringing inflation down. And so.
When you say that you're willing to either maintain the rate for longer, what is the tolerance of the Federal Reserve for inflation coming in above its 2% target?
We're strongly committed to bringing inflation down to 2% over time. That is our goal, and we will achieve that goal. Markets believe we will achieve that goal, and they should believe that, because that's what will happen over time. But we stress over time. And so I think we're making projections that do show that happening, and we're committed to that outcome, and we will bring it about.
Again, their forecast says 2.0 in 2026. In 2024, 2.4. In 2025, 2.2. Okay, so they want us to believe that they're at 2%. And I will note the 5-year forecast implied by Treasury securities, by comparing the rates on Treasury inflation protected Treasuries and plain Treasuries that are not protected from inflation. The difference in those rates implies an inflation rate over the next 5 years of 2.4%. That is as high as it's been in the last 5 years. Okay, and it's been rising for the last 6 months. So I don't know that the Fed is, I don't know that I agree with the contention that we're bringing it down over time. And what's apparent from this particular interchange between Leisman and Powell is particularly that last point. I have the transcript here. Markets believe we'll achieve that goal. Not necessarily. Look at the 5-year break evens. And they should believe that because that's what will happen over time. But we stress over time. So I don't think that they're saying they're going to tolerate more inflation. But what they're saying is the window over which we will get to 2% is now extended because of what happened with these particular elements of inflation that happened in January and February. Okay, I'm going to play one more cut because I think this one's related to this. Let's play cut six.
So I would say the January number, which was very high, the January CPI and PCE numbers were quite high. There's reason to think that there could be seasonal effects there. But nonetheless, we don't want to be completely dismissive of it. The February number was higher than expectations, but we have it at currently well below 30 basis points core PCE, which is not terribly high. So it's not like the January number. But I take the two of them together, and I think they haven't really changed the overall story, which is that of inflation moving down gradually on a sometimes bumpy road toward 2%.
That phrase, sometimes bumpy road, is and the word sometimes gets dropped. The bumpy road to 2% was part of the rhetoric that came out of the press conference. Okay, the rhetoric was, we're going to get to 2%. It's going to be bumpy. And they fall back on the idea that we didn't start cutting rates immediately when we got really good comparisons. We got very good inflation data in the second half of 2023. And we're not going to back off just because we got 2 months of not good data in January and February of 2024. All right. I think I could live with that if you weren't marking up your inflation and GDP growth forecast. If you are doing that, I then worry that and when I hear you say, well, I think the market forecasts are not changing for inflation, when I can go to the St. Louis Fed's website and see break-even 5-year inflation expectations moving higher, and I think to myself, well, you know what? I wonder if you've got it right or not. And I do believe that means that the Fed has got a bit of an issue in terms of its credibility on actually hitting the forecast. That's the $64 question. Phil Kirpin from American Commitment joining us after this to talk about the state of the economy as well here on the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire infrared grills, which are unique among gas grills. We designed Solaire from the ground up to optimize the performance of the Solaire infrared burner. What is infrared? The Solaire infrared burner efficiently uses natural gas or propane, creating up to 15,000 tiny flames to heat the ceramic plate, which radiates the red-hot, intense heat directly to your food. Conventional gas grills heat the air inside the grill, which dries out the food. The Direct Solaire infrared energy locks in the juices for a more natural-tasting, succulent, and flavorful food. Diehard charcoal grillers agree that Solaire infrared is as close to the white-hot intensity and taste they get from their charcoal fire, but with the convenience and controllability of gas. Solaire is truly the last grill you'll ever buy. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solaire infrared at besthotgrill.com.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own, whether it's for your personal system or business. Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, PragerTopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is only available to PragerTopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Bears, Bulls, and even Black Swan.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.